When my children were very, very small, my wife and I, we had an opportunity to have our very first home built. And so what we started was a little tradition with our children. And what we did was on our door, on a door in our kitchen, the what my wife calls the cupboard, am I right, where we, the pantry where we would put the different items. And so what we started, and we would stand the kids right on the edge of the door, and we would just take a little marker and we would mark it, and then we would use the measuring tape, and so we could chart their growth over the years. And I can remember the day that we actually moved out of that house coming to Houston, looking back at how low the numbers were, and then by the time we left, how high the numbers were. You know, it's pretty easy to chart physical growth, isn't it? You just start at some point and you begin to start measuring them. And oftentimes, many of you guys that are parents, you remember at some point when our children first went to the doctor, what did they do? They put them on the scale and then they begin to measure them. And for many of us, even as adults, we would go in at some point, they'd do that thing and put that little thing over our head and we'd get measured. I can remember being measured and praying that this time that I would jump from 5'7" to 6'2", and it just never happened. And so don't believe it when they say white men can't jump. There are some black men that can't jump either. And I was one of those. So it's easy to chart if you're growing physically. But the question I want to pose tonight is, how do you know when you're growing spiritually? And I'd like to answer that question by turning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Those of you that have been here at the seminary for any length of time, that you understand that if you're going to preach a passage, you must make sure that you preach it within its context and then even its greater context. So many of us already in the room that we know that Paul had kind of a procedure, a style of how he would write to a particular church. He'd begin by establishing a doctrinal basis, and then he'd take the second half of his book, then he'd talk about, now since I've laid a foundation on who you are in Christ, now let's talk about how to live. In the book of Romans, he does that for 11 chapters, then chapter 12 through 16, then he talks about, okay, now let's talk about therefore, what you're going to do. And he does the very same thing in the book of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3. He lays that foundation for who we are in Christ. And then he begins in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then later on, he moves on and he talks about things that the Lord has done for his people, the people called the local church, to equip them. And in another way, he says, I've done something for you to help you to grow as my people. Very classic verse of scripture, beginning in verse 11, he says, and he gave some as apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. But notice verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. I hope that one of the primary reasons why you are here at DTS is that at some point you recognize that the Lord wanted you in ministry. In order to be effective in ministry, you must be equipped. But I love what Paul goes on to say. He actually kind of illustrates when you know that you have been equipped and when you know that you've been equipped well. Let me use this whole theme. Instead of just saying equipped, how you can know if you're growing in Christ. And we're going to do this by looking in just a few verses. We're going to begin looking at verse 13. And here's what I want you to note somewhere. One of the ways that we know that we are growing and is when we're living Christ-centered lives, lives that reflect an intimate, personal, special relationship with the Lord. Look at verse 13. After he talks about this whole equipping of the saints in verse 12, then he says, for the building up or the growing up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Please underscore that in your Bibles. The knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge. Paul said in the book of Ephesians, I want to know him. I want to have this intimate relationship with him. He says, I haven't arrived there. I haven't attained. But what I do is I lay aside those things that could easily entangle me, those things that could easily hinder me from knowing him. And then he gives that comparison in the book of Philippians. He talks about his past pedigree. And he says, when I look at my past pedigree, compared to knowing Christ, he says, I count it as rubbish. The old King James says, I count it as dung. And so one of the things that you can look at to evaluate your own life when you know that you're growing is that you're living a Christ-centered, a Christ-focused life. Your whole objective in life is to get to know him more intimately. You know, I would surely love to tell you that since I trusted Christ in 1973, I'd love to tell you that since 1973, I've lived a consistent, intimate life with the Lord. But can I give you a shocker? At some point, about 6 years after I trusted Christ, I started doing this thing called becoming a pastor. And can I tell you that sometimes when you become a pastor, and this might sound even sacrilegious, that you can lose your intimacy with Christ because you get so involved in the work of the church, you forget about your relationship with Christ. Amen, somebody? Anyone ever been there? And I know it happened to me many times, and sometimes I'll say to my wife, I'll say, sweetheart, I'm busy preaching here, I'm busy teaching here, and I'm busy counseling there, and I'm busy encouraging that pastor over there, but sometimes I find that there's a staleness in my personal relationship with the Lord. So I want to encourage you guys, in the midst of your Greek, in the midst of your Hebrew, in the midst of your Old Testament, in the midst of your theology courses, in the midst of your preaching courses, in the midst of Dallas Seminary, never forget one of the main reasons why you're here is to get to know him in a very intimate way. Paul says, I want to know him, and I want to know him so strong. He says, I want to know him even the power of his resurrection. So one of the ways that you know that you're growing is that your whole mindset is getting to know Christ, to be like Christ. Because I don't have to tell you guys, you know that one of the main reasons why we're still alive is because God wants us to be image bearers of him. He wants us. He left us here. Think about it. There are friends of ours that are no longer here. I can remember even in high school being with friends that got called to Vietnam, and during the very same time, I was part of that whole thing, and many of my friends didn't make it back home, and I did. I was involved in drugs. I was involved in alcohol. I was involved with a very ungodly lifestyle, and many of my friends OD'd. Many of my friends, because of drugs, they're in jail right now, and oftentimes I ask myself, why didn't it happen to me? I'll tell you why. Christ wanted me. He wanted my life to reflect him. And so he supernaturally, he providentially, behind the scenes, he was showing up in my life to bring me to such a point as right now. Would you believe that he's been working in your life behind the scenes and you didn't even know it? Amen, somebody? Amen. So one of the ways that you know that you're growing is that you are living a Christ-centered life. Second of all, how do you know that you're growing, that you're living a mature life? Notice what he says. Look back again at verse 13. Paul says, again, verse 12, or rather 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man, the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. And then I love what he does. He gives an illustration to help us. He says, so that we won't be any longer children. And how does he illustrate this? He uses the imagery of a boat that's normally tied attached to the dock. He uses the imagery that some kind of way that boat has gotten released, has gotten separated from the dock. And so he says that Don't be any longer children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. He says, don't be so easily tossed here and there. One of the ways that you know that you're not growing is when there is no spiritual stability in your life. One of the things I've learned over the years is that when I know I'm growing, that I find myself with biblical convictions, but not just intellectual convictions, I find myself actually living my life in line with those convictions. Amen? There are certain things that I won't do anymore. There are certain places that I don't go anymore. There are certain movies, just because other people in the body of Christ go to those movies, I don't go. There are certain places, are you with me? There are certain people that I don't socialize with anymore because of my biblical convictions. See, when you know that you're growing, that you are spiritually stable. So think for a minute. Are you spiritually disabled? Are you spiritually stable? Not only that, when you know that you're growing is when you have that spiritual discernment. You know not just right from wrong, but you know when this doctrine is right and that doctrine is wrong. Are you like me? Sometimes when I turn on the television and there's some TV preacher, you know what? It doesn't take me any more than maybe 2 or 3 minutes to know if this is a man of God or not. Anyone? Are you like that? Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. It doesn't take long to know if this person is orthodox in their theology or if I'm dealing with someone that's liberal. Because when I hear someone and all they're talking about is your dreams and your destiny, I know what's going to happen. Let's talk about your dreams and let's talk about your destiny. And yet we know it's not about your dreams. Is what God wants for you. And I've come to the realization, I'm old enough now to recognize, for years it was all about my dreams and my aspirations. But I know I'm growing because my life has changed. Now I'm saying, Lord, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to do? Because I got to tell you guys, the moment that I said to the Lord I was willing to be a preacher, I knew it was no longer about me. Because the last thing in life I ever wanted to be, I mean, the thing that I looked down upon more than anything, I mean, the thing that I detested preachers. Then the Lord one day said, I want you to be one. I said, no, Lord, no. Lord, I'll sing all over the world. Lord, I'll sing all over the world. Lord, I'll sing 24/7. I'll go. I'll sing, sing, sing. No, 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 no. Preach, preach, preach. No, I said, sing, sing, sing. He said, no, preach, preach, preach. People kept asking me to come to the church, and I would say, how many songs do you want me to sing? And they would say, none. We're not calling you to sing. We're calling you to preach. So when you know that you're growing, you know that your dreams, your aspirations are no longer your own. It's all about Christ. You're attached. You're secure to the dock. Because if your life is going back and forth, if your life has no stability, guess who moved? It wasn't him. It was you. And then last but not least, how do you know? When you're growing, when you're living in authentic community. I want you to write that down if you don't mind. Authentic community. Let me tell you what authentic community is versus sometimes what we call it. In many of our churches, and I talk to a lot of young pastors here, more seasoned pastors in Houston, and everybody's so excited about, okay, these people are joining our church, and we've got them connected into a small group, and we've got them connected into sometimes what they say community groups. And I'm saying, I'm super excited, man, and how's it going? Well, things are going well. And I say, well, can you tell me kind of what goes on in your community groups? And it goes something like this. Well, you know, we're studying this book, and we have these facilitators that are part of the community groups, and well, what happens? Well, you know, we have the people people, and they read, and so, and then we would come on that particular night. We kind of go around the room because of facilitation. I'm supposed to be a teacher. He or she is facilitating the discussion. And so we say, well, what do you think about that? Well, someone shares. And what do you think about that? And someone shares. And then after everyone has shared, now we look at the clock, and it's basically over. And so, you know, we have, you know, some punch and cookies, and we go home. Is that authentic community? Let me give you a definition of what authentic community is. When you come naked and you come and you allow people to see the real you. Uh-oh, scary time. How many of you are afraid to let your fellow student that you sit with in class know the real you? Can I tell you the truth? Many of us in this room, we don't trust people like that. There are people that know who the real us is. I mean, we're married to them. They're our parents. They're our children. They're our very close friends. But oftentimes, when we're at church, the relationships are just surface. But when you are a part of a real, authentic community, it's a place that's safe. It's a place where you can come and tell the truth about yourself. Look at your neighbor right now. Say, neighbor, are you afraid to tell me who you really are? Are you afraid? See, one of the things that's helped me over the years to no longer be afraid, because I was at a point afraid, I'm no longer afraid because I recognize that everybody, to some degree, is flawed. Each of us in this room are to some degree flawed. Amen? I mean, we have some great professors that are part of the DTS faculty. I mean, some of the most prominent speakers in the country. We have a president. We have a dean. But guess what? Even our president and our dean, guess what? They are flawed. And even me. I have a flaw or two. Just don't ask my wife. Just don't ask her. She'll tell you a 3 and a 4 and 5 and a 6 and a 7, and then after about 30, then tell her just to stop. So why not be real? Because the person sitting next to you in the house, the person sitting next to you in the room, they're flawed too. They've got fears. They've got worries. They've got problems. They know, as they look at themselves in the mirror, they know that Christ knows who they really are. And even they see the image. And what did James say? The problem sometimes, we look at ourselves through God's word, through the mirror of God's word. We know who we are. And yet some kind of way we become satisfied with the image that we see. Guys, when you know you're growing, when you're not happy with the image that you see, because you know Christ is not happy, you aren't there. You haven't arrived. And when you know that you're in the midst of authentic community, when everyone comes, and they're not afraid to say, I'm not there. As a matter of fact, let me tell you what I struggled with this week. And rather than the group jumping on them or being super judgmental about them, they love them. And they say, how can I pray for you? How can I help you? Amen? Look what Paul says. And I close. Verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love. Authentic community is a place where you can speak the truth in love. Don't tell him that everything is right when you know it isn't. Don't tell your children everything is right when you know it isn't. Don't tell your best friend that everything is right when you know it isn't. Tell them the truth of what you see about them, what through God's word. Remember, don't judge them based upon yourself. Don't use yourself as a measuring way. Use the word of God to measure their lives. And if you know that they're not measuring up, love them enough, care for them enough to confront them with the truth of how they are living. Because at some point, according to my Bible, God's going to confront them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to have to give an account of all that we have done. With our natural talents, our spiritual gifts, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I called you to do? And then finally, I love what he says. Speak the truth. We are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped. When each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When you know that you're growing, you find that you're willing to yield your will for his will. When you know that you're growing is when your heart is in sync with his heart. When you know that you're growing, you find that your plans are his plans for you. When you know that you're growing is when your love becomes like his love. You even love people that are hard to love. If you want to know if you're growing, here's what you do. Measure yourself by the words that are in this book. And if you don't like what you see, and I hope you don't, fall on your face before the Lord and say, Father, thank you for showing me myself. Now help me submit to you so that you might transform me. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, we know all things work together for good to them what who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. But we never quote verse 29. It says, to whom he foreknew, he also predestined that they might be conformed to what? To the image of Christ. You know, guys, we're not here just to gain knowledge, because if you're not careful, knowledge can puff you up. We're here, what? To look like Christ. So when we go out in the world, who do they see? Why? Because he said, if I be lifted up through you, I will draw all men. Not your Bible knowledge lifts him up, but your life lifts him up. And if you do that, he will do the rest. Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters that are in this place. Thank you that you gave us an opportunity to seriously pray for a brother or for a sister in Christ. All of us in this room have something that we stand in need of. Father, you're the only one that has no need. And even as we grow more in our knowledge won't change our needs. We will forever be needy. So, Lord, help us to not be tossed to and fro. Help us to be mature men and women. Help us to be a part of authentic relationships. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.